The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn, plan that wedding. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Hello. Thank you for joining us. We're happy you're here.
Welcome, everyone, or just one, whoever is listening right now.
Who knows? We don't know.
We never know. Now that we've been doing our Patreon Zoom kind of, you know, fun bonus hours, and we have faces popping up and repeating and our Instagram lives, like, it's really lovely to interact with you listening, our audience. When we started the podcast, like, I was like, we got to ask people to send us questions. That was always kind of one of the ideas behind it. But I don't think I ever realized that we'd get to the point where we're able to interact now so much with so many of you listening through these various channels. I mean, Patreon being the number one, you know, because those of you who are Patreon members, you're giving us a little something every month, and we are giving you a lot more than just anybody else. And those people in particular are just, we just finished a Zoom meeting with, not meeting, it was supposed to be like a cocktail hour, but nobody was drinking, by the way, which
like
was fine.
Wow.
It was a powwow, and it was great to see some familiar faces. And then, like, you know, even jumping online, because one of the Patreon members was like, oh, I'm thinking about hiring, you know, this wedding planner over this wedding planner. And I'm like, put the URL, give me the website in the chat, let's take a look. And then, you know, we really got into it, like, well, you should ask about this or you should ask about that. And we answered so many questions. And sometimes on our Instagram lives, by the way, listening, if you're listening, we try to do every Saturday an Instagram live, Christy and I, where we jump on at noon Pacific Standard Time and we answer questions. But the way that it happened with our Patreon members was so cool, because as we're talking or as one of them is talking, you know, another one is like, oh, that's right, I wanted to know about this. You know, what mm-hmm. do you think about this? So it was really cool. It was a good hour and a half we did with those peeps, right?
Yes, and it was a small group, and so they got a lot of our attention. And now, like you said, because of all the different avenues we connect with people, we recognize, you know, like your Instagram handle or...
Yeah.
Like, did you email us or did you DM us? Did you leave us a voicemail? Have you left a review? Like, we're starting to remember people's names. And it has evolved from just getting questions. And we're invested now. Like, 2 years ago, we would answer your questions. We'd put them on a Yawa. But now I feel like we get a lot more follow-ups or somebody being like, I took your advice. Or I decided to go this way and this is how it turned out. And we're also getting what is really invaluable is after the wedding – mm-hmm. people are emailing mm-hmm. us with their or calling
retrospective.
Yes. Like these are the surprises or these are the lessons learned. And one of those brides was in the Zoom today and she was able to share her experience on the other side. And mm-hmm. so anybody that asked a question got two wedding planners plus a very recent, you know, COVID bride who had to plan her wedding during COVID times giving advice as well. So it was very like collaborative and fun. And now, you know, I just want to know how all their weddings turn out.
Yeah. It's so nice.
It's direct communication.
Yeah. I love it. So this episode is another crossover we did with another wedding podcast. We like doing these. They are
fun. We've half done it.
We've half done it because
we've done our half.
We've done our half. They recorded with us. We're presenting that to you today. And then we're going to be recording on their show, I think next week or something. But these ladies, the podcast and the ladies, the podcast is Huey Do, and it's Ashley and Tonia. Did I say it right, Christy?
Yes, Ashley and Tonia.
Antonia, yes.
And they are best friends for 20 years. They started the podcast when Ashley started planning her wedding. And the podcast, the point of it, I think it evolved a little bit in how they tell it. But the point was they were going through wedding planning steps and kind of at that process where you just like dive in and you're all over podcasts and Pinterest and blogs and you're looking for anything that inspires you or speaks to the type of wedding that you envision planning, like at that very beginning phase, and found that there was a lack of resources and representation for Black brides. And that's what Ashley was looking for. And so they started a podcast together as bride and maid of honor to share their experience. And then it has grown exponentially. They're killing it and they have on amazing guests now that are able to speak to that experience of planning a wedding in every different facet right now. So it was very cool to have them on recently after Ashley's actual wedding happened.
Yeah, it was like right after her wedding. And that is – Ashley's wedding is a prime example of a COVID wedding, of a pandemic wedding, because it took a 360-degree, like, it went from a lot of people in person to absolutely no one in person, and everything was live stream.
And maintaining that elevated day of experience for Ashley and her partner, Antonia obviously was a part of that, not physically with them in person, but virtually as well, where Ashley still felt like it was important for them to still do all of the wedding things that they had originally planned, except on a different scale and through a different medium. So we are talking to her about all of that. And we're also talking to Tonia about the shower that she planned virtually, which was like no stone left unturned for how to make all of those ladies feel special and included. It was super interactive. We loved learning about that because that is also a relatively new thing that people have to deal with right now.
Yeah. So as you will hear in this episode, I was very impressed with these ladies and the events that they planned and created. And they did it in such a thoughtful way for the guests of both events. And there's some great ideas in here for you listening. And we just had a good time and we always love a good crossover and we want to support a fellow wedding podcast, especially one that is doing such amazing things and making sure that the Black community is heard and seen. And yeah, we're all about it. We love it. So here we go. Let's jump right in with Ashley and Tonia.
Hello, I'm Tonia.
And I'm Ashley.
And we are part of...
Yes.
You, I do.
You, I do. I know. We're always weird when it comes to, like, intros.
It's very uncomfortable. Okay. Yeah. Well, welcome, ladies.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Oh, we're stoked. We're always happy to have fellow podcasters in the house.
Yeah, and we followed your journey with why you started the podcast to begin with, which was to shoot the shit about wedding planning, which you were in the middle of, Ashley, and now
you're married.
I'm married. It's so weird. It's like this thing I've been working on and been planning, you know, for like, what, a year and a half, and then it came and went.
In the blink of an eye, just like that.
Exactly.
The other day, I was like, Ashley Lippy, but I was like, oh, wait, nope. Ashley Coffee.
Yeah.
So Coffee?
Yes. Coffee.
That's easy to remember.
Yeah.
As in, I just had my afternoon Ashley Coffee.
Yes.
Well, congratulations. That's so awesome.
Thank you.
Well, first off, I just want to say that, you know, as fellow podcasters in this, you know, industry, I don't know, wedding.
Is it an industry if you make no money doing it?
Not really. I don't think so.
We're industry giants, by the way, if that's the case, just by pure longevity, not financially.
What is it you use? I remember you said once, we make pennies a day.
Yes. Pennies. Yes.
Now we make maybe nickels a day.
It's a true labor of love. But you know that after doing yours. Tell our audience about Who I Do and how it was conceived.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's see. Who I Do came about, oh gosh, about a year and 3-4 months ago. So around the time I got engaged. And it was mostly because I have been listening to wedding podcasts for years, yours included. Years. Yes. Well before him, like 2-3 guys ago, just because I was curious to know kind of like, are there things I should know, things I should pay attention to? And just based on like my, like just weddings I had been to. So I was just kind of curious and start listening to a few wedding podcasts back in the day. And after getting engaged, I was like, wait, I don't think I've really heard any like black people like that own any of these wedding podcasts or like, or, you know, like frequently on a lot of wedding podcasts. And I just thought of like all these like random nuances that, not to say don't occur like across the board, but just thought of like different nuances within the wedding industry that I wanted to hear more about and like hear more about like vendors and whatnot and brides and things like that. So I talked to Tania and I was like, hey, what are your thoughts on this? And she was a little skeptical because I'm always coming up with something for us to do. And she's, I feel like she sees everything as like, how much time do I actually have, like time and money to actually do this thing? And so
seems like a similar dynamic.
Yeah, yes. I think you've heard us before. So it's Michelle and Ashley and Tania. And
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Got to be a big idea person, and there's got to be a like grounded and realistic expectations person,
exactly.
Which kind of feels like optimism, pessimism, but I don't think it always fits in those boxes. It's the like umbrella idea, right, and the like filtered down like Plinko idea where you're like,
exactly.
Oh, if this, then this, how is this going to all work? But it does take both.
Yeah,
it does.
So you knew that, Ashley, when you called her.
Exactly. Because I felt like I just tweeted something out like, I want to see a black girl wedding podcast. And maybe like 5 or 6 people liked it or commented. And I was thinking, that's enough. So I was like, Tania, let's do it. And probably about a month after that conversation, like we recorded our first episode, which was weird. And then here we are today, like about 10,000 downloads later, which is freaking surreal.
Right.
To even think that, like, wow, that many, like, there are people out there that are waiting to hear from us once a week for some reason.
I'm always amazed, you know, as the numbers go up, but, you know, I feel like we're super blessed to be in this space.
Yeah.
And now, like, we're talking to you all, so.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And y'all are, like, our Beyonce. I've said this before. Like, y'all are our, like, wedding podcast Beyoncés. So.
Yes.
Oh, God, if only I could look like her.
We were going to call the podcast Wedding Planner Beyoncé. We were going to, like, incorporate that somehow.
Yeah.
It just never worked out.
We thought, big like, wedding we planning have, like, podcast for Beyoncé.
Right.
Yeah.
When you first started. Yeah, right. We can't even, like, we shouldn't even say your name. We're going to.
Right.
When you started actually recording, you were engaged, Ashley.
Yes.
But Tonia, you were like, the angle that could work out for both of you was like two girlfriends.
Yes.
And in the wedding planning process, because neither one of you are in the wedding planning industry.
Right.
So correct. It was like the idea being kind of like an exploration, or like your journey as the two of you. Or did you just have a list of things you were like, this is what I wanted to hear on all those wedding podcasts and I didn't, and now we can do that?
It was kind of a combination. I was thinking, like, I know on my side, kind of going through stuff and learning about things that I would have known nothing about, like the cost of how much flowers are, and, you know, like that's a big part of like a wedding budget, or, you know, like learning what attrition is. There were so many things that I would have never known if I weren't planning my wedding. And I thought about it from the perspective of, you know, Tania's not necessarily like planning her own wedding, but she's hearing about everything through me. At some point she is going to be at that stage. And so thinking back to kind of the girl 2-3 whatever years ago that just listened to wedding podcasts just because she knew that at some point this would be relevant to her, even if he wasn't there, you know. So thinking, you know, we should kind of also normalize a little bit having people that aren't necessarily engaged or married talking about weddings, because so many times I see, or I'll like read comments where people get upset that like someone who is single has an opinion about marriage or weddings. And it's like, why not? Can't we have opinions about everything? You know, so
it's a huge part of our culture, whether we are into it or not.
Exactly. So
we've heard from so many listeners, huh, Christy? They're like, yeah, I'm not even engaged. Like a lot on iTunes too. I'm not even engaged, or not going to lie, I was listening before I was even engaged. I'm always like, what? But I would totally do that because I'm obsessed with weddings.
And there's a podcast for everything.
Yeah.
There's a podcast for literally everything. Like everyone I talk to that is like a real adult that isn't listening to podcasts, I'm like, oh, you are missing out. Like, and I'll like rattle off my top 10, but there's just so many, and it's so accessible.
Well, we just need to do a podcast about people that don't listen to podcasts now. And there might be one like that.
Sure, there is.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there is.
So that's cool. So then you're like, okay, we're not hearing the people who represent us talking about weddings, let's just start it ourselves. And Tania is your maid of honor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like, let me just get my maid of honor and let's get on this right now.
Yeah. That's pretty much how it started. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I think, you know, for us, and I'm sure you know this, like since we started, we were like talking about being inclusive, right? Inclusive of all races, cultures, you know, same-sex weddings. I mean, and we started before same-sex weddings were legal, right, Christy? Because that was not till 18, right? That it became federal on federal level. Was it 16?
It was right when we started, I think. Hmm. But very close. I'm almost positive it was 16. I should know.
I should know that too.
But we had both been doing gay weddings with our business and businesses. So, and California was different and Boston was different. You were in Boston at that time. But of course we see, and what Michelle was saying, like our podcast was always, we were always trying to be like representative of a big spectrum, but we could see who our competition was, if there was, I'm putting that in quotes, but like for other wedding planning podcasts, we could see who was hosting them and generally who in the industry was being booked as guests the most often. So of course there was room and an opportunity for a wedding podcast that is, and wasn't even called Hugh I Do at the beginning, right? You were
Because we just wanted to be like very intentional out the gate. Like, this is what this is about. This is who it's for. And, you know.
And there are.
It was called the Black Wedding Podcast.
That was the name of it initially. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And you did have a list, it sounds like, from your origin story that we know, kind of like off the top of your head topics that you knew you wanted to at some point address in that podcast. Did you feel like you, in your first year, whilst planning your own wedding and talking about that, but you guys talked to so many vendors, do you feel like you checked those topics off your list?
I think we were playing it safe in the beginning, you know, because I think in our minds, we were still trying to figure out, you know, the direction that we wanted to take. And also, you know, like we were new at this, you know? And so I think now we have matured and I feel like we're not experienced, you know? And of course, there's still a lot of topics that we have not discussed yet that we will in the future, but I think that we're getting there. So so we do have a list. There.
The content evolves too.
Yes.
I mean, like we have been doing this for 4 years and we thought, how can we possibly have anything else to say? We've thought that many times. So that's pretty cool too, because now doors are opened, you know, to you to not play it as safe if that's what you felt like you were doing.
Yes.
Okay. So 2020, crazy time to plan a wedding, crazy time to plan even a shower. Which you did, Tonia. So tell us how, just you're planning your wedding, everything's up in the air. How did you do with all the changes? Like what ultimately ended up, it went from this to this?
Oh man. So when everything started to shut down, so we're in Georgia and things school started to shut down kind of mid-March. So March 15th, that was pretty much the beginning of that weekend where people were mostly about to start staying at home. And for most people that I talked to, we all assumed it would be a 2-week type of thing, if even that. So my bachelorette was coming up. 2 months later, around Memorial Weekend, because my birthday's at the end of May. So, you know, trying to hit two birds with one stone. So we were kind of being a little optimistic, but thinking, are we even going to be able to travel then? What's going on? And so it went from let's see, and then just, you know, I'm still communicating with my bridesmaids about getting dresses and making sure you get your dress by a certain time, because I'm still thinking October, we're gonna have this big affair and you need to have your dress by this time. So I'll say, what was it, Tania? Probably in April, we made the decision to not do the bachelorette or push it to Labor Day.
Yes. I think that was a decision, but I was actually getting, you know, a lot of text messages from the other bridesmaids prior to April saying, hey, I don't know if I feel comfortable traveling, you know, have you talked to Ashley and what's the plan? And I was just no, let's just wait. You know, I feel it's going to happen. So let's, you know, actually continue to plan.
And so April, April came and went, and let's see, May arrived and I had started to come to terms with the bachelorette wasn't going to happen. And I think I probably mourned that the loss of the bachelorette more than the wedding, because even still at that point, we were still optimistic that October was going to happen. The wedding was going to happen. And it was probably, let's see, so you guys bought your dresses at the end of May. And by the beginning of July, we decided, this is not going to happen. We're going
the wedding.
The wedding's not going to happen. So Ed and I kept having back and forth conversations about, do we make it a smaller scale thing at our original venue and just go forward with everything, because my mom was really wanting me to make it happen and have it also partially because we're getting married on my grandparents' anniversary. So,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So it was like a nod to my grandma, who's still alive, but my grandfather passed away at the end of 2018. So still trying to kind of have hope that something could happen. But as the cases kept going up, I mean, by that time, Georgia had reopened for about, we had been open for about 2 months at that time. And like basically fully open, like nightclubs,
whoa,
gyms, like bowling alleys, any sort of like, yeah, it's.
So
it's,
weddings were allowed.
Yeah.
Like, yes.
No problem. It just is. Comes down to what you guys were comfortable with.
Yeah. So, I mean, because at the end of May, I'll say, was around the time where our governor said that you can have weddings just as long as the venue can accommodate the like 6 feet distance. So because the venue we had chosen was like 17,000 square feet. Oh yeah. You can have like 300 people here. No problem. Yeah. Holy no, smokes. It's like, yeah, that still freaks me out. And so I'm hearing from vendors that are telling me, you know, it's okay if you want to postpone, or it's okay if you want to reschedule, just no fees, like, you know, we'll just work with you, blah, blah, blah. And it really did take us a while to just finally come to the decision of what we were going to do. So at the beginning of July, we decided we are not going to do anything. Like, we're going to move forward. We're going to get married. We will look for maybe a small venue and, you know, invite our family and friends or like maybe bridal party, do that instead of sticking with the original venue. And that's partially because the venue has like, you can do the outside catering with the fee, but you have to use their bar. And so just like the amount of money spent, it was like, do we want to, you know, spend all this for like 50 people or like spend all this for maybe a slightly bigger celebration? So we kind of went back and forth and then eventually just landed on, it will be you and I in our house that we had yet to buy, and my pastor, when my childhood pastor, and that's it. No family at all. Which was a really, really hard decision to come to, but
yeah,
I mean, it was more about, you know, if you invite one person, like on my dad's side, it wouldn't just be my dad and stepmom and stepbrother half my brother and like sister. It would be them plus my grandma plus my aunt and my cousins. Like, it's like a package deal of like 7 people or 8 people, just off the bat. So
how did your family feel about that, Ashley? Like,
yeah,
I mean, was a lot of your family like, what are you doing? Like, you can do this. Like, why are you doing this? Or were they all like, it's good, like, we understand?
Surprisingly, I thought they were all going to be like, no, we can make it happen. But most of them were actually like, I'm glad you're still getting married this year. I think what you're doing makes a lot of sense. I think, you know, just for my own safety, I would feel more comfortable this way. I hate that you have to do it this way. But they were all like very, very understanding, surprisingly. And I think that's also because, so when we were still trying to make a decision at the end of May, or maybe it was beginning of June, we sent out a survey to everyone, just kind of like, on how the state of things kind of look right now.
How did you send the survey out? Sorry, what did you use?
Yeah, so
I want to know from my own life.
Yeah,
just to like survey people.
Yeah,
to know,
yeah,
if I can still be friends with them or not.
Yeah, seriously. Oh my gosh. So
what format did you use?
So my planner made this like really quick Google Form survey,
Google
not
form.
Even survey.
Okay.
Yeah, so a really quick Google Form survey that asks like, are you comfortable with, you know, like as of today, are you comfortable with attending a wedding in October? Yes or no? And then I think there was like a place for any like additional comments. And or like, would you be comfortable attending virtually? everybody, of course, was fine with the virtual option. The majority of people actually were still pretty optimistic about attending, but those that weren't were basically the more important people. So it was like, my stepmom said she was not comfortable. My officiant said he was not comfortable. And I'm like, well, you know, if they're not comfortable, then what's the point? And I talked to my dad and I'm like, so we're still trying to figure this out, but if she's not comfortable, I feel like that represents both of you. And he's like, I mean, but you're my child. Like, if you're getting married, I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to put him in an uncomfortable position where, you know, sure, he could potentially get exposed and then take it back to her. And, you know, and I was also very like creeped out and have still been like one of the very, like, probably the last people in the state of Georgia to actually like do things. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we had to make that decision, but I'm so glad that like all of our family basically supported us and they're like, you know what, we understand, it's fine, whatever you need us to do, like, just let us know. But like, there was no animosity.
Good. Yeah. Good. I think that's a great thing that you did this poll, mm-hmm, you know, instead of just guessing. I think if more people did that, it would kind of reassure them or make them feel a little bit better about making that decision, right? Like,
right,
not that you need anybody's permission, but I mean, that's really smart.
It makes you sleep a little bit better when you feel like you've at least given people all the information, which right now feels like there's very few situations where we feel like we have all the information to make the best decision. This yeah. whole year has felt like that since March, but you had a limited amount of information. You're many months out at that, or several months out at that point. And so it was like, let's present the facts as we have them and then see where we are. But it sounds like you only needed a little push. Like, you were already, as the bride, kind of in the camp of like, this doesn't feel doable or right yeah. or safe or any of that.
Yeah. Cause honestly, I mean, this might sound kind of bad, but I don't care. Everyone, like yeah. I was starting to see, you know, in like the Facebook groups and whatnot, where girls are still trying to make it happen or having like a very small scale thing, and hearing about these like wedding disasters where someone's, you know, like, bridal party catches it, or like grandma passes away from mm-hmm. it because she attended a wedding. And uh-huh. I just thought to myself, I can't even picture getting my hair done, getting my makeup done, being around all these people that, you know, I don't know if they do in their day to day. So like, people that are out and about, because at that point we had started seeing our friends like posting on Instagram that, you know, they're at brunch or like they're back in the gym or they're doing different things. And I'm thinking, there's still a virus like plaguing our
hello, people.
World right now. So I just felt like my mind wouldn't have even been like at ease that entire day, because I would have been like calculating like, okay, I can't stand by you, I can't like hug you, I need to do this. So like, I wouldn't have even been really able to hard. Enjoy myself. Yeah.
It's really hard not to hug somebody on your wedding day. Like,
yeah.
come on.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
They're just going to hug, and then you're going to like hope for the best with your fingers crossed behind the person's back. But yeah, you'd be like hugging people and be like, oh God, I shouldn't be doing this.
Right. And then I'm paranoid for 2 weeks and I'm waiting to hear back from people that are going to say, like, you know, I have a tickle in my throat, or like I'm coughing, and it's like, is it allergies? Is it because of, you know, like you were dusting the house? Like,
I know every freaking time I'm like, why am I stuffed up right now? What? Yeah. Did my stomach feels weird? I have a headache. Oh my God.
Right.
I know every freaking time. This episode is brought to you by 1010.
Now, you may have read about this in the New York Times or Forbes, and we're excited to tell you all about it.
1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today.
Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful commitment ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. And when they're gone, they're gone.
We all know that the diamond engagement ring is iconic. It's a timeless expression of the deepest commitment between two people. And with 1010, it's been beautifully re-envisioned in the hands of 10 modern designers working exclusively with sustainably sourced diamonds.
If you're making 2021 plans or on the hunt for the perfect ring to wear forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out.
Again, this exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com.
Mia, what was it like on the, let's say, the bridesmaids camp or the wedding party side? Like, you kind of knew where Ashley was and like how she was inching towards just it's all not gonna happen as far as guests go. Were you like the captain of the team with the bridesmaids calling or texting and being like, she needs to make the call, or I gotta make my plans, whatever, kind of like that in between person? Or
yeah, I tried to keep everyone abreast of, you know, exactly what was going on. And Ashley, I mean, I feel like she did a really good job of, you know, like keeping everyone up to date. But of course, you know, like in our own group, we, you know, I mean, I would always update like, hey, you know, Ashley's having a really hard time, you know, just give her, you know, like a couple of days. I'm pretty sure that she will, you know, actually update you all. Yeah. But I think they were also, you know, I feel like everyone was relieved that she was, you know, like not actually having, you know, like a big wedding. Mm-hmm. And I really think that they agreed I feel like they agreed with everyone else, you know, in saying that they didn't actually feel comfortable, you know, attending a huge wedding. And I don't even think, because I know at one point she was talking about, you know, having like a mini-moni. Yes. And I don't think they were comfortable, but because, you know, we're like, you know, if you're going to have it, of course, we're all going to be there, but we're going to be there with our mask on, you know? So like, I think, you know, either way, I think we would have, you know, been there for her. Yeah. Yeah.
So you scaled way down. How many guests were you originally supposed to have?
Okay, so if we want to talk about the initial list of people when it was all loaded into aisle planner, it was like 299.
You're so ambitious. Oh, yeah. Snap.
So then when I saw that number, I was like, no.
And now
I went back to different family members, like, all right, who can we cut? Like, just slice everything down. And at that point we got to like 225, and I thought, okay, that works, because realistically we'll have like right at 200 or right under 200. And I was really trying to stick with that number because my venue has 205 chairs. I just didn't want to rent any. So, yeah, we were at 225.
And then you went all the way down to none.
Yep. Yeah, not even my mom.
So how'd you do the Zoom though? Was it Zoom?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Zoom and YouTube.
Okay. So did that Zoom broadcast it to YouTube?
Yes.
Okay. So everybody just had one link to YouTube.
Sort of. So one of my vendors is a videographer that lives in Nashville, but when we decided, all right, we're pushing everything the next year, I had to make the hard decision to push his services to next year as well. Mm-hmm. And at that point, we were trying to figure out live streaming when we were still thinking, you know, venue and all of that. But when we decided, you know, we're still just going to do this at home, we're going to use our photographer. But I love videography. Like I love a good video, a good wedding video. So I start to look for like wedding videographers in Atlanta that had live streaming experience. And so there was this one that actually the photographer kind of recommended, and he had this like perfect little package, because I had initially reached out to him last year for the videography services. And so when I kind of followed up and I'm like, hey, you know, based off what you sent me last year, like, are you still available? And he's like, actually, we've kind of changed our model because of everything that's happening this year. We offer live streaming. And I hadn't even mentioned that to him yet. So I was like, perfect. And so he had this like really good package where, you know, like basically however long we needed him that day, he would do that. He would set up the video streaming, the Zoom, all of that. So he actually created a landing page on his website with the YouTube live stream link embedded. So we pointed everyone for the ceremony part to just view that. But if you wanted to attend the reception in the cocktail hour, then you could log into Zoom, because we realized some people are out here and, you know, they don't want to just like watch a wedding on their Saturday evening, but they want to, you know, at least see us get married. And what's that, like 10, 15 minutes out of their day, and then they can like go on to whatever they're doing. But for some people, they really did kind of want the full experience. So we were able to transition everybody over to Zoom, and the cocktail hour and reception part began. So
how did that go? You did it in your living room? Like, did you pop a champagne? Like, what'd you do?
So the wedding was actually in the living room. It was going to be outside that day, but of course it decided to like monsoon storm that day, which I was really upset about, because there's this really nice part outside that I was like, oh, this would be so beautiful. Who knows now? So
2020.
I know. 2020. Exactly. So we got married in front of our, in our living room, in front of the fireplace. So gorgeous greens across the mantle, and then hella candles all like inside the fireplace and like
cute
on the foot of the fireplace. So it was so, so like dreamy. And so I come down the stairs and there's like candles all like liming the stairs, and I'm trying not to have a Jason Derulo at the Met Gala moment where I just like fall down. But we had the ceremony there, and then during the cocktail hour, of course, we went outside, took pictures, but we came back into the dining room area, and that's where we cut the cake and then sat down and did our toast with, you know, like our family and our friends, and then had an amazing kind of breakout room sesh.
That's awesome. And you didn't have your videographer in the house helping you or anything like that, or your wedding planner?
So yes, the three vendors that were actually there pretty much the entire time were my wedding planner, videographer, and photographer.
Perfect.
Our baker dropped off the cake at some point. I have no idea, because I was upstairs getting my hair done. That's another vendor. I did actually have a bridal hairstylist. Yes.
Okay.
I did my own makeup, which whenever I see my photos, I'm hoping I don't regret that decision. But I did my own makeup, had a bridal hairstylist. And yeah, so four vendors, I guess, technically were in the house. Well, and pastor, but, you know, I feel like he was there for like 20 minutes.
Awesome. So you had somebody, so you literally, you didn't have to turn on the camera, log into Zoom, like position things. Like you had somebody taking care of all of that. It's so important. It's important, right?
We had a Zoom rehearsal 2 days before so like the weekend before, my planner came by the house just to kind of like scope the spaces and see where we shall set up. And then the Thursday before, we walked through everything with the people that were doing toast or would have speaking parts during the reception, just so that they knew what to do, where to be, what to say, like, is your internet stable? Is your phone fine? Or whatever mm-hmm. device you're on, like, all of those things.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And I'm so glad we did, because there's always something that goes wrong. And of course, like, the day of, we're having issues with the toast and people's audio and things like that. Of course. So, yeah.
Have your planner done these before? This way?
Yeah. So she has, but I don't think quite to the extent of what we did. She's been basically, like, she'll show up to some of her weddings and then just have kind of, like, she'll turn the camera on or, like, make sure, like, the music is playing. But I don't think she was really kind of, like, running the whole show. She was more just kind of, like, being, you know, an actual, like, wedding planner. Because the majority of her weddings have actually been small scale instead of, like, nobody basically being mm-hmm. there. So mm-hmm. there were still,
hybrid.
Yeah, yeah.
Tania, so you did a wedding shower.
Yes.
For Ashley, also virtually, correct?
I did.
And what did you do?
It was interesting, but, you know, it came out well. So originally, you know, I was trying to figure out how to make the bridal shower interactive, mm-hmm. because a lot of people are at home and they're always on the computer and they're always on Zoom. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to do like a normal Zoom, you know, like everyone comes on Zoom and we play a little game and then, you know, and then everyone turns off their computers and then, you know, so I tried to make it as interesting as possible and interactive. And so, I think planning, I had all these ideas and I randomly came across this influencer on IG whose aunt was having a birthday party, and her aunt sent everyone a box of goodies. And so, like, a crown and, you know, like, I guess, like, balloons and stuff like that. And so I was like, that's a good idea. I'm going to actually do that for Ashley's bridal shower. So, and so basically I made, I think, 39 boxes.
Whoa!
Yeah,
they're so good.
Yeah, I made 39 boxes. Ashley's other maid of honor and I, we purchased T-shirts so everyone could, dress up. Participate. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then also we had flowers in the box, and I actually had one of my other friends make a keychain of everyone's initials. And then we also had, like, little fans, you know. And so I made this box and I sent everyone their box. So cute. That was, yes, 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 yes.
Did
that
you send it like UPS mm-hmm. or did you drop some of them off, or were people all over the place?
No, I went through USPS and okay. I was kind of, scared about that, you know, because I was like, okay, well, everyone get their boxes, you know, because mail has been kind of iffy these days, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. But I went through USPS. They were the cheapest. I tried to look at doing either like at UPS and FedEx, but they were just too expensive. And I was like, yeah. No, I can't do that. So I went the USPS route, and everyone got their boxes. Everyone was, you know, all her guests were like, oh my gosh, like I love these boxes. And so I was happy about that. And so on the day of her bridal shower, I think we did it a week before the actual wedding. So on the day of the bridal shower, everyone dressed up. And I asked everyone to either make a meal or actually buy a meal, you know. And then also I had everyone to have a glass of bubbly or juice or water or whatever, just so we can, you know, actually toast to Ashley. So that's what we did. I also had all of her guests to think of a memory that they had of Ashley. And I made this PowerPoint presentation, and Ashley.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
Yeah. Yes, Ashley. me and her other me and her other two bridesmaids, we actually read, and actually would have to guess who that memory was about. And so I think many of Ashley's family members learned a lot about her that day.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ashley's like, hold on, hold on. I did not want my mom hearing that.
Yeah. One of her friends sent in like three memories, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to just do this one because the other two are not really that appropriate. I mean, like, they're funny, you know, but yeah, you know, grandma.
She's talking about ex-boyfriends.
No, she was, you know, she was just talking about some things that, you know, grandma would not want to hear. So, yeah. Yeah, but yeah, I think everyone enjoyed it. And as I said, everyone learned a little bit about Ashley. You know, Ashley can come off very, you know, serious and, you know, like, okay, no, we're going to do it this way. We're going to do it this way. And everyone saw us, like, you know, the side that, oh yeah, Ashley liked to party. Ashley liked to drink. You know, Ashley liked to, you know,
like do all these things. Past tense or...
Past tense, you know.
Yeah, I can't drink anymore.
A little bit, you know. So
I know.
Yeah.
What?
My body just rejects alcohol. Like.
Do you get?
I can have a sip, like a literal sip of whether it's wine or like actual liquor, and I will be sick for like a whole week. Like I will have like a hangover times like five. So I just had to give it up. It's the worst thing.
That just happened like all
at the beginning of the year. I remember like last Christmas time. Whoa. Because so my sister-in-law's birthday is like 3 days before Christmas, so we went out to somewhere, and I remember like I drank too much at the work holiday party like the day before, so I was like still a little hungover, and I just had wine, and I remember like feeling so sick through like Christmas. And I went to a baby shower back in February, and they had like sangria because it was like a taco themed kind of like a baby shower. And I had like a sip of the sangria and felt miserable for like 3 days afterwards. So I was like, I can't do this anymore. So then during quarantine, I opened a bottle of wine that Ed got me for Christmas, and I'm like, maybe I can try this. Maybe it's everything else, but I could still do wine. Nope. Couldn't do wine. I was sick for like four days. Sick. So.
How interesting. Yeah. Well, you're just doing the reverse of everybody else, you know, during the pandemic and not gaining alcohol.
Actually, like,
weight.
Lost a lot of weight during the quarantine.
I was going to say, because when you, I mean, seriously, when you cut alcohol out, you lose weight.
Mm-hmm. And we have a whole drink? Like bar downstairs.
So you're just like, I'll have a mocktail.
Like for the wedding, we order zero proof rum. You know how fun zero proof rum is? Yeah.
Ew, no. What did they make
zero
that?
Zero proof rum and zero proof gin. It is, it's just like a juice. It's like a Starbucks refresher without the caffeine.
Do you like?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
Do you like Bloody Marys in normal times?
I don't think I ever had a Bloody Mary, surprisingly, now that I think about it.
What?
Because I say that's one mocktail that's actually really delicious because you don't miss the vodka at all because it has so much salty flavor anyway. You can definitely like go to brunch with your friends and think Bloody like, Mary. Oh, this Bloody Mary is delicious, but you won't miss the vodka unless you're trying to get like brunch drunk. But anyway, I've learned that hanging out with some pregnant friends, it's a very like fulfilling mocktail.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because I've never tried
we
it
should
either.
All.
So
you've never had a good Bloody Mary?
Yeah, no.
Shit, we should have done it. They're so, I mean, it's like a meal. Right. I mean, it's tomato juice.
Yeah.
There's usually celery in there. You got some olives.
Mm-hmm.
You got
I like the pickled green beans.
Mm.
They're my
favorite. Oh, and those little pearl onions too. If you have those little pearl onions in there.
Oh my gosh.
I'm hungry.
I didn't realize all this was in a Bloody Mary.
Yes. Really, and like then salted rim.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, Tabasco, Worcestershire. You can put pretty much anything in a Bloody Mary. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Oh my gosh.
Anyway.
Sounds like we could educate you on this. Yeah, that's good. Well, Tania, that sounds super fun. You did a really good job.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's what we were going for. So
yeah,
Ashley had fun. She even, you know, shed a few tears. And so that's what we were going for.
Now, where was Ed in the house while you were having your wedding shower on Zoom?
He was upstairs in one of our guest rooms, either watching TV or playing on his PlayStation.
He didn't even care. He's like, no. you go ahead.
Something like that. Or like college football was on. Like that was taking up his like time.
Did he have any sort of... Go ahead, Tania.
Oh, no. He did help, actually. Because like me and another friend, like we went to her house and we, you know, decorated the area. And so he helped out. Yeah.
Cute.
So he
was a big help.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was that a surprise to me? Or did you, I mean, Ashley, did you see it or did?
No. So I actually went for my bridal hair preview that day. So
perfect. Oh yeah. That's a good timing thing. Yeah. So you were out of the house while,
they got it all. Yeah. So I come back in and I feel like I probably had like an hour and a half time between like sitting, eating, and then like having to get ready for this. And I was so kind of like, because so it was in our sunroom. And so the kitchen is like very open into the sunroom, and the family room, you can close the barn doors. So he had the doors closed, which we usually just keep them open. So I'm like watching TV and I'm eating like my Chinese food, and he'll say stuff to me because he's usually sitting to my left, like kind of facing the sunroom, or like I'd have to face the sunroom to see him. And he was like, don't look over there. And I'm thinking, I can't see anything. Like the door is closed. Like I'm not even trying to look. I'm not trying to spoil the surprise for myself. So
you're like, I have so few surprises that are positive at this point.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm not going to spoil it.
Exactly.
Chinese food, yum.
Yeah, it was good.
That's great.
I wanted to hear about what the day of was like from a guest standpoint, which you were, Tania, that was your full responsibility on the wedding day, right?
Yes. So I was a guest, and so I was at home with my family and my boyfriend. And honestly, like from start to finish, I feel like they did a great job. It was almost like, you know, I was actually there with them, but not really. And so as Ashley stated before, she, they had the... I guess like the streaming. And so like that was done beautifully. Like I was like, oh my gosh, you know, like how did they
the ceremony?
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, how did they do all that? You know, because if you watch her video, it's, you know, it's like an interview of her and Ed actually talking about, you know, their relationship and how they met. And then like it went into the actual ceremony. You know, so everything was done beautifully, you know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you were watching that first before the ceremony came on. I love that.
Yes. And that was done all in the same day.
So good.
You know? Yeah. So I was like, oh my gosh, this is really nice. And then of course, after that we went to the reception. Oh no, it was cocktail hour, right? And during cocktail hour, you know, everyone got to watch a video that Ashley made, and that was about an hour long of all of her guests, you know, like, I'm telling her, I guess like her and Ed about how much they appreciated them and, you know, like all the well wishes and, you know, and then also giving them advice. And then we watched that for about an hour, and then we had the reception. And so,
wait. Sorry. Mm-hmm. You watched an hour long video of Ashley and Ed talking about the guests?
Oh, no. All of her guests.
They all sent like little video snippets in?
Yes.
Kind of like what you did for the shower .
Yeah. Very similar to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who put it all together for the wedding day?
Ashley.
I did.
Oh, did? Okay. So
yeah,
it's a big project, but
yes.
Oh, yeah, your videographer did this.
Yeah, no. So like he came to the house maybe the weekend before the wedding and filmed our love story. So our like Ed was interviewed, I was interviewed separately. We didn't hear each other. And then he compiled that into like a 10-minute video. It's like some B-roll footage of us walking around like our house. I'm an outside and stuff like that. And so, yeah, that part played beforehand, but I created like this hour-long iMovie kind of like video where we use Tribute to kind of like get videos from our, you know, friends and family, just sending well wishes and advice and things like that. So I think by the time of the wedding, we'd receive maybe about 20 or so of those videos. And they range from about like, my little brother was like a 4-second one, to maybe like Tania's parents for like 3.5 minutes. So
great way for them to participate.
Yeah. Yeah. So good.
So yeah. I kind of like threw those in between like pictures of Ed and I over the years. And then, since we had signature cocktails, I had like recipes, kind of like throughout the whole time of like, hey, don't forget to make your like Margarita or like your Suburban, yeah. You know, like, so all of our like little drinks or whatever. And then, I had reminders to wear your mask and to vote. So kind of like dispersed throughout. So it was like a good little, like, hour-long video, to kind of like keep people entertained while we took pictures outside and, had a good little playlist. So yeah. I love that. That was so much fun.
Yeah. Oh, that was so good. You didn't get to see it. But you're good. You know how to do that. Like, you're very creative in that way. That was really good. I'm getting an A+ right there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Very good.
If we have been helping you plan your wedding, consider helping us keep this podcast going by becoming a Patreon member.
As a patron, you get more Michelle, more me, and more wedding planning help. We release bonus episodes, newsletters, we host Zoom parties, and much more.
Join the TBWPP Patreon party and help support your favorite podcast. Go to patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast or visit our website and click on Patreon. Thank you.
So then after the video, then the live stream came back on, or how'd that work?
No. So then after the video went off, we went into Zoom, and Ashley and Ed, you know, like they were sitting down, or no, I think they,
we did our first dance, I think.
Oh,
we
came in and did
the first dance. Yes. Yeah, in front of the fireplace.
Yes. And then it panned over to the dining room right after that, and then everyone, I think we were able to see them cut the cake and you know, and then also like feed each other, and then after that they sat down, and I think we all kind of sort of did the same thing. And then a lot of people were eating during that time period, and yeah, so it was almost like we were at a real reception, basically, you know. So like as they were eating, we also were eating, and then I think we went out into like into like the breakout rooms after that. So
good. Yeah. So when you all were eating, was everybody up on the screen, or like was it just Ashley and Ed?
It was Ashley and Ed, and then of course if someone was talking, then of course it would pan to the person that was talking on Zoom.
Yeah. So was it done as a Zoom meeting? I mean, if everybody had their microphone on, could you hear everybody in their house?
Yes.
So we set it up where, yeah, it was a Zoom meeting. We didn't do the webinar route. And so my planner was going in because she had kind of registered everyone through Zoom that said they wanted to attend the reception. So she went in, registered everyone, and was like muting everyone's mics, because when we sat down after cutting the cake, people just start, you know, sending like, you know, congratulations from like Palm Coast, Florida, which is like where Ed's family's from. And so like all these random people kept like sending their well wishes, but for the most part, we didn't see who it was. So we're just trying to identify by their voice. And so we had the, like, everybody was still all in the same, I guess, meeting set up for the toast. Well, the cake cutting, the toast. We had a scripture reading and a poem reading. So all of that occurred. And then, like, the person that spoke, of course, they were, like, the person that was spotlighted for that moment. And then after that, we did the breakout rooms, and then that's where everybody went into their respective spaces. Yeah.
Just so good. I love it. You did such a good job. That's great.
Thank you.
That's how you do it.
Yeah. You mimic a wedding day schedule that you would have done in person, right?
Yeah.
Like, sounds like you went through that whole process and then pivoted it all to
make sense
for the Zoom format.
Exactly.
It also sounds like a lot of work.
It was a lot of work.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, thank goodness for my planner. She did most of the heavy lifting. We just kind of, like, for the breakout rooms, we had to say who went in what room. So we had, like, college friends, like, my college friends. Ed went to, like, his undergrad friends, and then his like graduate school friends. So those were like two separate buckets. Our family, you know, like my mom's side, my dad's side, his family, like, because his dad's a pastor in Florida, it's like people from that church. So we like bucketed everyone in these little groups, but it worked out because I mean, we got so many comments back where it was like, oh my gosh, it was so great, like, catching up with these people. So while we made our rounds to, like, all the different tables, they were able to, you know, like, my college friends were able to catch up with each other, whereas most of them have not seen each other in at least 5 years, if not more than that. So that was kind of fun. And then, you know, like, family members, seeing people that from out of town and stuff like that. And most, I'll say a lot of these rooms were still going on by 10 o'clock.
Woo!
Yeah, like the last three rooms ended at 11:30, 12:30, and 1 a.m.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you still going around?
Yeah. We were still just like popping around because we were if we leave, it cuts it out for everyone.
Yeah.
And so if they're still enjoying themselves, we're still on the high of like, oh my gosh, we just got married and it's storming outside. Our vendors are gone at that point. And so
I was going to ask, your vendors left. They're like, later, bye.
Yeah, they left maybe around 9:30-ish. Like, there was one part where it was coming down so hard that they were all, I guess, kind of like, all right, it's time for me to go. Like, y'all are basically not paying us any attention anymore anyway. And
Yeah. That's very cool.
Yeah.
I love that. That's some great ideas for people listening, you know? Like, I always talk about the importance of, you know, making the virtual experience as interactive as possible for those who are attending from their homes, who are remote. And I feel like you really hit the nail on the head with that, like, both of you. So I'm excited. I want to see the video. Kind of want to see the video.
I will send it to you guys via Dropbox.
Okay.
We got like our little teaser back last week, and that was so cute. So, and then I'll send you guys like the ceremony, the whole thing. You watch it if you want, or you know, but
cute.
It was fun. I mean, we both felt like, wow, that felt like a wedding. Like, and that was our biggest thing. We wanted everyone to feel like they attended a wedding. Like, we tried to tell people, like, hey, you know, here are your signature cocktails. Like, if you were in person, you would be, you know, like, someone would be making this for you. But because, you know, we're not, make this instead. Or, you know, because I had a food blog for a long time, I was like, hey, support a local business, like a local restaurant, and make that your dinner. And like, you know, you're at a reception, please eat and take pictures and share with us these things. Like, if you make the drink, please, like, post it and use the hashtag.
Oh, yeah. Good. Okay. And how did you communicate this to your guests? Did you have a wedding website? Did you do a Facebook group, email? What'd you do?
So we had a wedding website that I built. And we also had kind of like an SMS tool, because I was thinking back in 2019, oh, when we actually are, you know, having our wedding next year, instead of people trying to like stare at a table or like at this big old sign, figure out where they're supposed to sit, we can shoot them a text and say, you're sitting at table 8, or like, you're sitting here, or whatever, so that everything just felt seamless. And that, I guess, is kind of the marketer in me that was like,
Ashley, what do you do for a living?
Yes. I mean, I just wanted people to have like a very easy going experience where, you know, cause Ed and I went to like 4 or 5 weddings last summer. And there were so many times where, of course, like, you know, we're standing and waiting, you know, for the line to inch up so we can scan this, you know, like poster of a globe and figure out what country we're going to sit at. And, you know, so we just kind of wanted to like bypass a lot of that. So with us not having the wedding in person, we decided, you know, we're still going to use that tool. And when we capture everyone's RSVP, so we sent out print invitations to everyone, because there are a lot of people online and on Facebook that knew we were pivoting, but there are a lot of older family members that do not use Facebook, barely have an email address. So we wanted everyone to know, this is what you do. You go to this website, you put in this password, and you will get all of the details. Please continue to go back to the website as the day gets closer to learn more details. But like Tania was saying, you know, the Postal Service, of course, we had some issues where some people never received their invitation. People that literally are one town over. There's a, like one family in particular, all three of them are invited. All three of them receive separate invitations because they're all adults. One received their invitation. The one bounced back. The other is somewhere in the USPS ether. So yeah. So we were trying to like communicate with people through email. Like if we hadn't noticed an RSVP within a certain time frame, cause I like use Jotform to like create the RSVP form. And it was basically like, oh, and that was another thing. So we captured everyone's name, email, cell phone number. Are you going to attend the ceremony or reception? So you had to check which one or both that you were attending and submit a photo. So we wanted everyone to be with us physically. So as much as possible, right? So everyone submitted, or most people submitted, a photo of themselves or like the people that would have been watching the wedding with them. And we printed out those pictures and made a gallery wall. So like our hallway downstairs is just full of photos of people that like virtually attended the wedding. Yeah. I hope my photographer caught that on photo, but.
So I'm a nurse practitioner, Ashley. Like, do you build websites? You know, all the things that Ashley talks about. I'm like, huh? So I work for a marketing agency, and I handle the marketing for that marketing agency.
But also, like, I build websites for people that need websites. So, yeah.
Very nice.
Yes.
Very nice. Tania, what do you do? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's lovely. I'm so happy for you. And I'm just so excited to have heard all of these details and, you know, that you did this right. And I think those listening must have picked up a lot of great tips. And, you know, at the very least, Ashley, like, you could just start going, doing this for other people for virtual weddings, you know, like, pick up a side gig. Like, let me just put together your video or give you ideas. I love it.
Yes. Someone like there, maybe like within the 72 hours after the wedding, like 3 people were like, wait, so you did that? Like,
yeah,
you should do some of this. Like you should do this for other people. And I'm thinking, yeah. I had so much fun. Like I would actually kind of consider that.
Seriously. Like
it
I'm
really
like,
wasn't that hard.
I'm impressed. I'm impressed.
Thank you.
Very good job. Oh, just wish I was a school teacher. I would just give you an A+.
The next
grade. It's teacher's pet right here.
Thank you.
Well, very good, ladies. It was so good to, you know, have you on the pod, and we're excited to be on yours.
Yeah.
Yes.
At some time in this future. When we have a moment to breathe.
I understand. You guys are very busy.
Yeah.
But we understand.
They could be released like within days of each other with the way everything is like panning out.
Yeah.
Best laid plans this year are.
Yeah.
All over.
Yeah, we really do.
Yeah. But we wanted to talk to you as close to after your wedding as possible so that it was all still in there.
Yeah.
Not that you're going to like forget it, but you know, some of the details.
No, I completely get that.
Very good. Now, shout out, like tell everybody, because I feel like our listeners need to go listen to Hugh I Do. Shout out, you know, all your details.
Tania, do you want to do it?
Sure.
I make her do it every week.
Does Tania always do the outro or what?
Yes. Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
So you can find us on HughIDo.com or you can find us on HughIDoWed on Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn, as well as Facebook. Mm-hmm. And you can find Ashley at Demitosh on Instagram and Twitter. And you can find me at Belsaree on Instagram and Twitter.
And so the podcast is also on like Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Amazon Podcasts. Basically, wherever there's a podcast platform, chances are you just go look and we're probably there.
You have no reason not to find it, okay? And listen.
Thank
Yay.
You.
All right, ladies. Well, it was really great talking to you. Enjoy your evening and thank you so much for being with us.
No, thank you so much. Guys. We had fun.
Yes, this was so much fun.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast is hosted and produced by me, Christy Matthews, and Michelle Martinez. It is edited by Veronica Gruba. Music by Steph Altman of Mophonics. If you like the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, please subscribe. We are available for free on pretty much all podcast player apps. Help us get the word out by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts.
Follow us on Instagram at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast and be sure to use the hashtag #PlanThatWedding when posting. Become part of our Facebook group. Join us and our amazing members. Just search the Big Wedding Planning Podcast community on Facebook. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 415-723-1625 and you might hear your voice on a future episode. That is it. Happy planning, everybody. Christy, love your show.
Bye.
Bye.